Welcome up here. My name is Greg Horn, and used to sing a little song when I was a kid. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me, for the Bible tells me so. Obviously, I don't lead worship in any churches, but you know what? I'm singing to God and singing about Jesus, and I'm making a joyful noise. But, you know, even though it's been probably 50 years since I sang that song as a kid, there's just so much truth and power in that song. And some of you need to be reminded today that Jesus loves me. This I know. And even when we are weak, he is strong. And I love that song that we sing, yes, Jesus loves me. Not once, not twice, but three times. Yes, Jesus loves me. And I had to be reminded in the Bible because it tells me so. Because the world and other people, if we're looking for love and affirmation from them, we're not going to get it. We're not going to hear it sometimes. And you know what? That's okay. Because there's a God-sized shaped hole in all of us that only he can fill. And friends, I know that I have looked for things to fill that God-sized shape hole in my heart that only he can fill. I've looked at it through food. I've shared about some of that journey off and on over the past few years, making a lot of headway in that as I continue to surrender that to God and working all the time. And when you're in ministry, there's always things to do. And one of the hardest words for me to say is no. But, you know, sometimes I'm having to learn that I have to do that. Because if not, when I get run down and I get weak, discouraged, I don't remember that Jesus loves me. And maybe one of the most powerful things you could do today is just say, you know, I'm sorry, but I can't do that right now. Please contact me again in the future. Now, that's a very polite and diplomatic way of saying, no, I can't do that. But, you know, some of you need permission to know that today, that it's okay to say no, or I'm sorry, I can't do that right now, but thank you for inviting me. Please invite me to do it again. And, you know, the church, we can be really bad about making people feel guilty about serving and volunteering all the time. And I believe everybody should serve in at least one ministry in their church. But I know a lot of times I could be guilty when I was on staff at a large church here in Central Kentucky of maybe going to some of the same people because I know that they would say yes. But thankfully, as I got a little older and more mature, that I realized that people need to be winning at home. My good friend Gordon Walls used to remind me of that. And he just say, you know, make sure that you're winning at home. And, you know, you need to make sure that you're being a good servant leader at your home before you're serving at your church. And my friend Greg Williams reminds me of that quite often, too. And the church, you know, like I said, there's a lot of great things going on, but we need to be making sure that we are honoring God in our home. As if you're married, if you are as a could be a grandparent or as a aunt, an uncle, as a friend, as a neighbor, you know, people want to see a sermon before they want to hear one. You know, people want to see that. And people are watching. Oh, I promise you, they are watching. There's no doubt about it that people are watching. But, you know, you can be encouraged by that God chooses us to be his hands and feet. And, you know, people say, well, I'm not perfect. Well, you know, there are no such things as perfect people. We're all God's got to work with. And I'm thankful that he allows us to be a part of his plan and helping build his kingdom. One conversation, one individual life at a time. But I want to share with you that, you know, sometimes I know that we all have times when we are weak. I mean, we just do. And this especially when we get to December and it gets dark earlier and it's overcast a lot during this month and January and February before spring starts to kind of make its headway some in March. And it's just, you know, I want to remind you, it's okay to be weak at times. We don't have to be strong all the time. I want to give you permission on that also. But I also want to remind you where your source is. And Jesus just made it as simple and plain as it could be. In Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, he said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." And friends, there's rest in Jesus. And when you seek him and you invite him to be a part of your daily plan, and I want to encourage you to have him to look at your calendar and help him with you what you need to do with Christmas and maybe some things that maybe you need to cut back on this year with events and things, and maybe even gifts you buy. And, you know, it's okay. You really find out sometimes when where you're at in a friendship, a relationship, when you have to tell somebody, "I'm sorry, I can't do that." That's when you really find out where a friendship or a relationship's at. You know, it's easy when you say yes all the time. Everybody loves you and likes you. And so just know that up front. You may get the cold shoulder or shun, but if it's a real friendship or a really strong relationship, they'll come back around, and that's okay. I also like Romans chapter 8, verse 26. It says, "In the same way that the Spirit helps us in our weakness, we do not know what we ought to pray, but the Holy Spirit itself intercedes for us through wordless groans." And I know that there's people listening just like me. You've been there. You've been so beaten down by life, physically, mentally, and emotionally, and even spiritually, that you're like, "I just don't even know how to pray." And I'm so thankful that Romans 8:26, it just tells us that the Holy Spirit himself will intercede for us through wordless groans. And that's how we feel sometimes, don't we? I just like, I can't even pray. I can groan, but I can't even pray. And yet Jesus knew, God knew that there would be times that we would be like that. And I'm thankful that it says the Holy Spirit intercedes for us during that time. And also, it's so great when we can ask friends of ours to intercede for us and pray for us, and when we're struggling. And I've been doing that lately. And, you know, I've learned to humble myself and do that. And, you know, people are glad to do that. And people know they can contact me, and I'll pray for them and stand in the gap for them. And I think that's why Jesus chose 12 guys to change the world. He just didn't do it by himself. He could have, but he chose 12. And, of course, he did life with three specifically. Peter, James, and John, kind of his inner circle, his boys, his guys, okay? But I also want to ask you a question today. Who are you listening to? Who are you listening to? In Deuteronomy chapter 23, verse 5, it says, "However, the Lord your God would not listen to Balaam, but turned the curse into a blessing for you because the Lord your God loves you." And you know what? God wants to speak to us, but we've got to be listening. We've got to be listening. And, you know, I've talked about this before on Hope Is Here, but I think it's kind of interesting that God physically gave us two ears and one mouth so that we would listen twice as much as we speak. But unfortunately, a lot of people, and I can be guilty of this at times, we want to talk more than we listen. And the big thing is God wants to speak to us, but whether we've got the TV on in the background or we're looking at social media, you know, it's just real easy to kind of not even give God a chance to speak to us. And I want to encourage you to be a good listener, and especially when you're in conversation with somebody. And I tell you, I can be guilty, and I know everybody listening can relate to this, when you're on the phone trying to multitask while you're listening. And I just want to encourage you to really be focused in on conversations right now, because I think people really need somebody to listen to them and to be heard. And you could be a real blessing. You may say, "Well, you know, Greg, I can't write a financial check. I can't buy a lot of Christmas gifts this year for people. And, you know, COVID scared to bake things and give things to people because of germ spreading and all that." But you know what? You can be a good listener and just call somebody and listen. It doesn't cost you anything but time. And I know time is a valuable asset. But what if you gave 15 minutes a day to somebody, especially, you know, somebody that lives alone or shut in or can't drive or doesn't have any other family members nearby? And God lays somebody on your heart, your Holy Spirit. Texting's good. Just pick up the phone and call them. If you get a voicemail, leave a message. You know, just, "Hey, I was thinking about you. God laid you on my heart. And, hey, how you doing? Give me a call when you get a chance." You could really be somebody's hope for a day when you did that. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 34 says, blessed are those who listen to me, watching daily at my doors, waiting at my doorway. Friends, I want to encourage you, make sure you have a daily quiet time and let the Lord speak to you. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 20 says, listen to advice and accept discipline, and at the end you will be counted among the wise. Make sure you've got some people in your life who can speak truth and love to you. I'm very fortunate that I've got siblings, my mom, my dad when he was alive, that will speak truth and love to me. I'm blessed with a couple of friends that are great about that too, that will speak truth and love to me and give me discipline. And, you know, you need to give people permission to speak that into your life sometime and then really listen. Doesn't mean you necessarily have to do it, but take it under wise counsel and know that God disciplines those he loves sometimes, and he's disciplined me numerous times in my adult life, and you know, I've needed it, and I've become stronger in my faith, and I think I've become hopefully a better person because of that discipline. And I'm going to close out today's program with, you know, wait is not a bad four-letter word. Wait, W-A-I-T, is not a bad four-letter word. And if you're a type A personality like me, though, sometimes you think that it is. And I know that a lot of people listen, they don't like to wait, and a lot of head bobbing going on. A lot of people, bobbleheads just going up and down. Oh, Greg, you're preaching to me right now, my man. But Psalm 37, verse 7 is a verse of the last few years that's really spoke to me often in times when I was impatient. Psalm 37, 7 says, be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret when people succeed in their evil ways. Whew, that's hard though, isn't it? When you see people getting blessings and you're like, God, I've been waiting, I've been praying patiently. Hello, are you there? But I want to encourage you to be patient and not fret when people succeed in their evil ways, like Psalm 37:7 says. I like this quote by Rick Warren. I heard him say it many years ago. And it said, God is more interested in your character than your comfort. And when we wait, we learn to trust God and look to him. And it develops our character. We have to die to our flesh and ourselves and impulse things that we want. Psalm chapter 119, verse 84 says, how long must our servant wait? When will you punish my persecutors? Oh, I've been there. I know some of you listening today that you are thinking the same thing. How much longer must I wait? And why are you letting these people that are persecuting me get ahead? When will you punish them? And of course, a lot of you know that Bible verse that vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. And friends, we need to let God, he's the one that makes things right. And just to be honest with you, sometimes on this side of heaven, you know, we may not see that. But we can trust God, and we need to just forgive and move forward. And I close today with Psalm 130, verse 5. It says, I wait for the Lord, my whole being waits, and in his word I put my hope. Oh my goodness, that's good. I'm going to read that one more time. Psalm 130, verse 5. This may be a verse you need to write on a post-it note today and put it several places where you can see it. I wait for the Lord, my whole being waits, and in his word, I put my hope. So friends, be encouraged by that today, that you can wait for the Lord. And when you do that, and when you wait patiently, and you look to his word and put his hope, that he will always provide an answer, and he will provide peace for you that passes in all understanding while you're waiting. Thanks for listening today. Join us again tomorrow for Hope is Here.
If you have been blessed by Hope is Here, would you consider making a donation to help this ministry continue to reach thousands in Central Kentucky every day? It's simple and safe. Go to our website at hopeishere.today, where you can make a safe and secure online donation, or you can find our address to mail a check. All donations are tax deductible and they are greatly appreciated. Please make your donation today at hopeishere.today. Again, that's hopeishere.today.